heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, it is such a privilege to be in studio to answer your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Just mentioned the number, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Well, today is, of course, March 22nd, 2017, and I was reading just a few moments ago about a terror attack in London. This terror attack came exactly 1 year to the day that Muslim suicide bombers killed more than 30 people in Brussels. And this terrorist attack also had striking similarities to Islamic terrorist atrocities in France and Germany. Of course, at this point, there is no confirmed notice that this was an attack by a global Islamic jihadist. We'll have to wait and see on that. Again, that has not been confirmed, although I could give you some more detail through the research that I have done. I would think that that is unwise, so I will leave it at that. We'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow, more on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, many of you are already hanging on, so we'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, John. He's listening in Neptune, New Jersey on Sirius XM 131. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I really appreciate your knowledge of God's Word. I wanted just to ask you something about in Acts. I'm not sure which Acts 5, I believe, with the married couple who gave their possessions but didn't give all their possessions. And I understand that they lied to the Holy Spirit, but I was just, you know, I read that, I just wonder about myself. And do you think that's too harsh to kill both of them? Or, like, what's your opinion? What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I don't think that anything God does is too harsh. It is a perfect blend of His mercy and His love and His grace of taking all converging circumstances into consideration, and that is precisely what happened in this case. You have to remember that this is a non-normative situation because this is the first recorded sin in the life of the New Testament church. So here you have Ananias and Sapphira, who are accountable for allowing Satan to fill their hearts with lies, for breaking the integrity of an emerging New Testament church. So their sin is not only keeping back possessions, but deception. They were lying to the church, and lying to the church can be equated to lying to the Spirit of truth. So this is a very, very serious sin. They had conspired to lie, which is to say that they had little regard for the Holy Spirit and for the embryonic New Testament church. So again, non-normative, but taking all the converging factors into consideration, God's justice is always perfectly meted out with His love.
Okay. Can I just ask you one more question?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
With myself, I have four kids, and I read a little bit about you, and I pray daily to have patience. And with my kids, I have, you know, my kids are small. But I saw that you have 12 kids, and I wanted to ask you, how did you do? Like, how did you, How did you deal with that? Like with your pad, I find myself, you know, raising my voice and getting loud, and I can't even imagine with I have 4 and you have 12. How did you handle that?
My wife. I give a lot of credit for my children to my wife, and they rise up daily and call her blessed. She is their hero, and she has been such an incredible force for good in their lives. She has molded their lives in so many ways, and I suppose that God has given me the grace to be there as well, to be involved in the process. But yeah, I mean, together we have been very, very blessed to have not only each other in rearing our children, but also by God's grace, our kids have been just fantastic. No kids are perfect, but our kids have been fantastic. And again, by God's grace and mercy, we have such a wonderful, tight-knit family. And so I have to point beyond ourselves to the grace of God, and I thank God each and every day. There's not a day that goes by that I do not pray for my wife specifically and pray for every one of my children. In fact, I just did that less than 15 minutes ago. As I was in prayer before I came in the studio, I prayed for my wife and all of my children. And ultimately, that's always been my motto: prayer is firing the winning shot. So, you know, you have so many circumstances where wonderful parents raise children and the children go off in a bad direction. You have parents that do not do good parenting skills and their kids turn out wonderful. So I only say that because I don't want to take any credit for God's providence in my life in this regard. I do think that some common sense principles are always necessary, and that is the more time you invest in your children, the closer the relationship. Same with your spouse. If you spend a lot of time nurturing, cultivating that relationship, it will grow deeper and richer and more wonderful as life progresses.
Thanks, Hank. Have a good day. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your call. Gene next in Shelby, North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gene.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Hey, it's an honor to talk to you, and I appreciate you taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
Yes, sir. Last week I heard some people talking, and they were talking about how people have free will, how God gives us free will, and they were also talking about angels, that they're like slaves, and they were saying that the devil and the angels that fell were just fighting for their freedom, and I didn't know how to respond to that, and I was wondering what you would say about something like that.
Well, I'd first of all say it's sheer nonsense. They were given the privilege to worship God, to have a requisite knowledge of God, to be in the presence of God, as it were. And they were doing the very thing that God had created them to do, the most fulfilling thing that they could possibly do, given how God had created them, was to be in fellowship with the Triadic One. Now, God created them in such a way, and you alluded to this in the prologue to your question, that they could choose to act or to act otherwise. They could choose to love God, or they could choose to rebel against His loving presence. So were they creatures created by God who had freedom of choice in this matter? Absolutely. And you see that choice carried out such that 2/3 of the angels chose to worship God and do the very thing that they were created to do. And 1/3 were, by their own free choice, permitted to separate themselves from His loving presence. This, again, is choice. This is not slavery. You think about human beings who are also created with the ability to act or to act otherwise. By their choice, they can be bondservants of Christ. By their choice, they can be in league with the principalities and powers of darkness. But their choice does factor in to the equation. Their choices really do matter. And we have the choice that the angels had. We can love God and serve Him. We can be brought into the fellowship of the Trinity, or we can do otherwise.
Okay. Okay. So Satan, they all had free will just like we do, and he chose to do what he had to do. And I wish I would have thought about that the way you just said that back then, but that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, and I appreciate that. That really helps out. And hopefully I get to explain it to them like you just explained it. And that's really good stuff right there. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure you will, and I'm so grateful that you called me today. A very important question. Braden next in Jackson, Wyoming. Braden's listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Braden.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, I'm going to give you some full disclosure here. I'm actually an atheist, and I was just kind of I like listening to your show because I like hearing some of the answers from the Christian perspective. I grew up a Mormon, actually, and I just had a couple of questions as far as kind of free will, because I hear in some churches believe that God punishes, and like the LDS faith maybe says they don't, that God doesn't punish for your decisions, your choices. And I was curious, is the Christian belief that God does punish for the free will or not? Or
well, there are consequences to all of our actions. So, for example, I'll give you David. David was the quintessential king of Israel. He is shown in Scripture with all his warts and moles and wrinkles. So the Scriptures talk about David conducting a census. So he was not relying upon the arm of the Lord, but rather upon his own arm of strength. Well, there's a consequence to that. We read that David lusted after Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah killed on the battlefield. Well, David repented, but the sword never left his home. So there are consequences to the behaviors that we engage in while we are in the flesh, and those consequences really do matter. I've said many times, Braden, that I live in the land of antinomy, which means that I believe on the one hand God is sovereign. On the other hand, I believe that the choices we make really do matter. Now, that land of antinomy does not allow me to fully comprehend how all of that works. It is mysterious, and I'm willing to leave that in mystery, but there are certain things that we are privy to, and that is what I just communicated to you. Our actions do bear consequences, but we do have a real choice to love and serve God or to do otherwise, as I just said to the last caller. Now, in terms of your atheism, I mean, I think that those who are atheists have a remarkable amount of faith, because you have to, at the end of the day, be able to say that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produces mores and ethos. Not only that, but you have to live in a world where you resign everything, not to free will, but to fatalistic determinism. Because if you are but a material person, your choices are not free. They're fatalistically determined by brain chemistry, genetics, and your circumstances. So the atheist worldview obviously is not in concert with the worldview that I just communicated and that I personally hold to.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I do like listening to your show. I don't necessarily believe that atheism believes nothing from nothing, because I could make that same argument that, you know, who created God? You know, that, I mean, that's kind of the same justification there, but I appreciate your opinions, and I'll keep listening to you.
Well, thank you, and I'm honored that you would call me. So call me anytime, and again, just really honored that you would be listening to the broadcast.
Yep, we'll see you later.
Bless you. Yeah, I mean, we oftentimes, to Braden's question, who made God, say that unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and eternal, and therefore an infinite eternal being can logically be demonstrated to be the uncaused first cause. And to suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe must have a cause simply leads to a logical dead end. I wrote about that in the Creation Answer book, a book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So a lot of questions about origins, which is not just a apologetic issue, in my view, is the apologetic issue, are answered in the Creation Answer book, which is available. You can find it on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. I will be right back from a station break in just a bit with more answers to your questions.
There is one very big problem for agnostics and atheists who dismiss the resurrection of Jesus as sheer scientific impossibility and mythological nonsense. The resurrection actually happened. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, gives you the hard, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology on the resurrection. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. The
miraculous resurrection of Jesus did more than reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being. Yet many believers are ill-equipped to provide persuasive, credible answers to unbelievers who consider the central event of Christianity nothing more than mythological nonsense. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, lays out the solid, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology that demonstrates the fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, very, very excited about the resources that we have available for those who support the ministry all this month, including Paul Meyer, who presents The Week That Changed the World. As I've said on previous broadcasts, this is not a week. This is the week that changed the world. We're now in the fourth week of Lent, and we are becoming closer and closer by the day, or coming closer and closer by the day to the week that changed the world, Holy Week. And I'm looking forward to that, have been preparing for that. And one of the preparations I think that some of you may want to take advantage of is not only to get the DVD and to watch it, but also to get my book, The Third Day, which gives you a very concise way to remember how to establish the veracity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul makes very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not something that we hope is true, but something that we can know to be true. He gives a four-part argument. Christ suffered fatal torment. The tomb was empty. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. The appearances of Christ. Christ appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he had indeed risen from the dead. And as a result of that transformation, the disciples were utterly transformed from scared and scattered to being lions of the faith. Again, that four-part line of reasoning given by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is about the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history, F-E-A-T, fatal torment, empty tomb, appearances of Christ, and transformation. That laid out in The Third Day by yours truly. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Also, we have a resource that you may want to get a hold of. We'll be glad to send it along to you. The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction, co-authored by Paul Meyer. Paul Meyer and I wrote this book together many years ago, but it is still very relevant. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Gary in Westchester, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gary.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm going to say, my life a year ago, and I've been reading the Bible every day, and right now I'm in.
You are cutting out for some reason. Are you still there, Gary? Perhaps you can call me back. If you do, we'll try to reserve a line for you. I can't hear what you're saying at the moment. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Mitch in San Antonio, Texas, listening on KDRY. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, could you address a book called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby? I've been reading it for the, I'm listening to the audiobook for the past couple of weeks and been really influenced by it, and just wanted to know if you thought he was in line theologically.
Well, this goes way, way back for me. The book's been out for a long, long time, and I have not read this book in a long, long time, and so I think I'm ill-equipped to answer your question, except to say that my recollection of the book was that he was far more subjective with respect to knowing the will of God than I would be comfortable with. However, that does not mean that there is not a whole lot of good that can be gleaned in reading Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. I'm just at a loss to come up with the details, in the spur of the moment.
Thank you so much. Could you answer, and I love your answer on tithing, the biblical teaching of tithing. I'd love my wife to hear this. If you could just address that quickly, and I just am encouraged by how you explain it.
Sure, and hi to your wife. The idea of tithing is an Old Testament idea, and the idea is founded on a universal principle, which is Moses tells us that we tithe in order to demonstrate that we revere the Lord our God. Well, again, reverence for the Lord our God is a universal principle. It's as applicable today as it was in Old Testament times. However, having said that, what I oftentimes point out is that tithing is but the training wheels to free giving. Free will giving means that we hold everything we have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as He sees fit. And this is not just our financial resources in the sense of our treasure, but it is also true of our time and our talent. We want to hold everything that we have in an open hand. We want God to take our whole being and use our beings for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. And I wrote about tithing in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, and one of the things I point out there is how tithing transformed the Israelites. And I give the example of David, who was thankful to God for the very privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. And so David said, "Who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" They're giving towards the building of the temple. "Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." So the point here is that what began as a spiritual discipline evolved into sheer delight. And that is my prayer for all those listening in. I mean, as I give myself, I can tell you that what began as a discipline has become more and more of a delight. And I pray, having not yet reached the goal, I pray that God will continue to help me loose myself from any dependence on the arm of flesh and depend solely on the arm of the Lord. I have not arrived, but I am striving to arrive by immersing myself in the graces that God gives to me so that I can live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Amanda, Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Bot Radio. Hi. Hello, Amanda. We have another glitch here. Let's go to Holly in Old Bridge, New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Hank. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, and thank you so much for taking my call. And I love your ministry. I listen to it every day.
Thank you.
I have this question that I had originally been struggling with, okay? Last week, I believe it was Thursday or Friday, a young man called in, and he asked you, why did God create us humans, knowing that, you know, we were going to struggle so much and, you know, have so much trouble? And one of the answers that you, you know, gave him was that, you know, God wanted us to have a closer relationship with Him, and you asked Him, would He have not had His children, knowing the struggle that they would have gone through today, He would still, you know, want to have them. So my question was originally, why did God create the angels? But then you mentioned that God created the angels with free will, just like he created us with free will, which I didn't know, so I'm glad I learned that. Okay? So my question is, if he created the angels with free will, okay, and one-third of them decided that they didn't want to follow him, and they were cast out and onto the earth, is it safe to say that when God created us, that he already knew that the earth, you know, our world would be a fallen world because the angels were already here? Is it safe to say that he already knew that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, God is omniscient. He knows all things, and therefore he knows the beginning from the end. And the reason I gave the illustration that I gave to the previous caller that you just now mentioned is because it is a way of being able to relate on some level. Because we say we know for a certainty that when we have children, those children are going to bear the scars of a fallen world. And yet we choose to have those children nonetheless. We know that our children might die before we die. We know that there are all kinds of possibilities. And yet we choose to love and lose as opposed to never loving at all. And so what we know is that God, who was complete in his own love, which is to say the triadic one, was always in love relationship. It's the beauty of the Trinity. It's not a morally defective God, as a Unitarian God would be, but there was, independent of the universe, the love that the Father lavished upon the Son, witnessed by the Holy Spirit. And we could go through the triadic one and give many other examples. The Son loves the Father and so forth. But the idea here is that they were complete in their own love, and yet they chose to create other beings for fellowship. Now, this is incomprehensible to me. I know it to be true because God has made it manifestly plain that indeed it is true. And so I simply revel in that love. I am doing all I can as a person, my family, the same as a family, so that we might enjoy life in the Trinity. Well, that, of course, comes through the graces that God provides us in the context of his church. And through that, we have the opportunity to experience life that is life to the full, not just after we die, but in the present as well. And by the way, I learned a lot about that when I was in China from followers of Watchman Nee. Many of them had far less knowledge of Scripture, and I'm sure many had more, but there are many, many that I encountered that have far less knowledge of the Scripture than I did. But they were experiencing God, and that had such an enormous impact on my life and ministry. In fact, it has shaped my life in many ways for many years now. So, yes, God, in his sovereign, unlimited, bountiful love, given us an opportunity to share in the life of the Trinity, and that's exactly what we were created for. So I could say that's why we were created. We're coming up to a station break. I'll be taking more calls after the break, as well as communicating the quote of the day. We'll be back with that in just a few moments right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is without question the most important event in human history. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to family and friends concerning the central event of Christianity, the Christian Research Institute is offering The Week That Changed the World on DVD, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break.
When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app. Free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. With an unmatched mastery of scripture and history, Professor Paul Meyer discusses and defends the historicity of the events of Holy Week, which culminated in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day, it regards Islam, perhaps the most evil religio-political worldview on the planet. It's not a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word. I don't know of a greater threat than Islam. Perhaps Western naturalism, but seems to me that Islam is the threat. Hilaire Belloc, many years ago, multiple decades ago, actually, he was a very accomplished man of letters. He was a Catholic historian. He had this to say, and this is our quote of the day, "The great and enduring heresy of Muhammad. It very nearly destroyed us. It kept up the battle against Christendom. It kept it actively up for 1,000 years, and the story is by no means over. The power of Islam may at any moment re-arise." Prophetic words again by Hilaire Belloc, because Islam has again re-arisen. It was dormant for a short period of time, a period of almost 90 years when the caliphate was abolished, but it has re-arisen with great ferocity. The quote of the day, again, by Hilaire Belloc. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jonathan in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Jonathan.
Hank, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was listening just a few moments ago and in explaining a different answer to a caller, you mentioned that a Unitarian God would be morally deficient. And as a Trinitarian, I don't have any problem with that, but I'm just curious as to what you meant by that and what the reasoning is.
Yeah, I actually explained this in a book that's going to be released in the third quarter of this year, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. I point out that this is so because for God to be a perfect being, he must of necessity also be a loving being. And that implies that there is, of course, someone to love. But there has not always been someone to love because, in accordance with modern cosmology, the universe and the people that inhabit the universe came into being a finite time ago. And therefore, independent of creation, a Unitarian God would not have had an object on which to lavish love. And while moral imperfections apply to the Unitarian God, they don't apply to a Trinitarian God. And here's why. The biblical God is a single being. However, there are subject-object distinctions within the Godhead, and the three centers of consciousness within the one true God have loved one another for all eternity. And various thinkers over the years have pointed this out. I think a C.S. Lewis or in the present William Lane Craig, who once said on the Islamic view of God, because the Islamic view of God is a Unitarian view of God, God is a person who does not give himself away essentially in love for another. He is focused only on himself. He cannot therefore be the most perfect being. But on the Christian view, God is a triad of persons in eternal, self-giving, loving relationships. And thus, since God is essentially loving, the doctrine of the Trinity is more plausible than any Unitarian concept of God would be.
Fascinating. I had never heard that before, but that's really something good to think about.
You know, it's wonderful when you think about it and ponder it as you're indicating that you will do. This has been one of the most beautiful things for me to ponder. Because for many years, I believed in the Trinity, and I tried to diagram the Trinity and come up for illustrations for the Trinity, and in the end was relegated to saying that, well, I can't comprehend it, I can only apprehend it. But now I see something far grander in Trinitarian theology, and because of that, I think it has enriched my concept of a Trinitarian God, but also has opened the doorway of my thinking to how wonderful it is to have been brought into that loving relationship, into the love relationship of the Trinity.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for explaining that.
You're welcome. It is my pleasure, my honor. Taylor next, listening in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Hi, Taylor.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I got to apologize because I'm going to slightly change my first question. I was wondering, is there any book on earth that we should study and analyze up to par with the Bible? And then the second question is, why do people analyze the fictional novel, The Shack, by William Paul Young, as if it were scripture?
Yeah, I don't know. The second part of your question is simply to say that it is unfortunate that many people who are biblically illiterate know every jot and tittle of The Shack. And I think that the import of your question is we ought to be more familiar with the Bible than we are the latest soap queen or the latest offering in the publishing industry. Because the Bible, at the end of the day, is the greatest book in all of history. It has been translated into more languages, sold in more copies than any other book, and it has the words of life contained within it. If you really want to know the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence and the one who created you for life in the Trinity, you have to know the Bible. And I find it a sad circumstance that most people, I'm not talking about secular people, but most Christian people spend very, very little time in the Bible. They couldn't tell you who the Ten Commandments, what the Ten Commandments are, who the 12 disciples are, or name any number of little things that we should be very conversant with because they're simply not in the Word of God or getting the Word of God into them. So we live in a time of biblical and historical literacy. We don't know the oral tradition. We don't know the written tradition. And I think that that is a commentary that leads the church into all kinds of very significant areas that are subversive to the faith once for all, delivered to the saints and communicated through the church.
Man. All right. That was all I needed, Hank. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much for your call. Matthew next, listening in Jefferson City, Missouri. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
My question today is, I heard another, we were talking about the Trinity. My question is, does someone have to believe in the Trinity to be saved, or could you not believe in the Trinity and still be saved, as like Unitarians or maybe one that's Pentecostal and people like that?
Well, I don't think it's the absence of knowledge that damns. It is the despising of knowledge that damns. So when you talk about the oneness Pentecostals, they're very familiar with the Trinity, and they despise the Trinity. In fact, they call it pagan, polytheistic philosophy. So they have apprehended it and dismissed it out of hand because they cannot handle a God that is with beyond their kin, and so they recreate God in their own image, which is to say they create a God that they can comprehend. Well, any God that you can fully comprehend is a God that is far too small. So again, the real issue with the Oneness Pentecostals is they have carefully considered the Trinity as communicated in Scripture, and they have despised the knowledge and recreated God in a way that becomes very accessible to them. So you talk about their canard calling Trinitarians pagan, polytheistic philosophers when they themselves have taken philosophy and used it, vain philosophy, I should say, and used it to divine God in a way that they can fully comprehend. We cannot comprehend the God that has saved us by His grace. We can only apprehend Him, and that in a very limited way, because the God of the Bible is clearly communicated as being ineffable. He is knowable in His graces and through the person and work of Jesus Christ, but in His essence, God is ineffable and unknowable. And this makes it wonderful for us to say we serve a God who is beyond all comprehension. You think about the universe itself. We can't comprehend the universe. The universe is created. We might at some point, doubtful, come to an end of understanding the universe. Again, very, very doubtful. But we will never come to a point where we fully comprehend God. That is how great and wonderful and awesome the God we serve is. So, again, in answer to your question, the one is Pentecostals are despising the knowledge of God that could be theirs.
Yeah, I understand your point. I was wondering, like, someone maybe that wasn't the one is Pentecostal, just maybe, like, they read the Bible, they got saved, and then, like, they died before they really studied the Trinity in depth or something like that.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, it's not that the absence of knowledge that damns, it's the despising of knowledge that damns. So I'm not standing in judgment over every oneness Pentecostal. Many are ensnared by a system taught by their leadership which the leadership has examined, and now they're caricaturing this for their adherents. So I'm not blaming the adherents, although I all of us are responsible to grow in grace and knowledge. So if we are truly adherents of the kingdom, if we are truly participants in following our Master, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, we will learn more and more about Him, and we will grow and say, wow, God was far more awesome than the God that has been communicated to me. I'm going to follow the truth wherever it leads. And I think that's where all of us are left. All of us are in the position of following truth wherever it leads. And shame on us if we do not do that very thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, appreciate your call. I'm looking at the clock and I only have a minute left. So many people calling from all over the planet. Unfortunately, can't get to you today, but I'll be right back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Before I came into the studio, I was signing books or personalizing books to those who joined CRI's monthly support team, one of them, Audra. She joined the monthly support team at $123 per month. Now, the reason I mention that is not because it is a very large amount. Some join at $10 or $25 or $50. But I was thinking when I saw 123, $123 per month, there's probably a story behind that amount. I don't know what the story is, but we're deeply appreciative of that. Those who join CRI's monthly support team and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and for truth. Back here tomorrow, Lord willing, with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. To make a gift that can transform lives, and as our thanks, receive the DVD, The Week That Changed the World, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Now you can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.